you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to be studying 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 21. Last week we talked about receiving the new body in verses 1 through 10. When we leave this world, we're going to receive a new body that's like Christ. But today we want to begin with verse 10. And if we have a theme, it would be the judgment seat of Christ and judging others. The believers will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as it says in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive what we deserve for the good or evil that we've done in our bodies. And we've concluded that the body includes the heart and the mind. So what is in our heart is going to judge us. And we pray that we have the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, it means that we made it to heaven, okay? We're not going to be judged as to whether we were saved or not, because only the believers will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The unbelievers will have to go to a different judgment, which is the great white throne judgment, to be judged by God Himself. We are at that judgment. It means that we are lost because we don't have Christ as our lawyer to stand before God and plead our cause. But in the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to give rewards for His workers, for the ministry and the work that you've done for the Lord. And He's going to judge you on whether you have the fruit of the Spirit and whether you have the anointing of God because you've sought the Lord and you've asked the Holy Spirit to help you. And you really can't work for God effectively unless God anoints you. Now, I've been reading the book of Leviticus, and Leviticus is about the tabernacle that Moses was instructed by God to build in the wilderness. It had several rooms to it. One was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go in and offer a sacrifice for the people's sins. And then there was another room called the Holy Place, where the other priests did their duties of offering sacrifices and of ritual cleansing. Then there was the inner court where the Jews were, and the outer court where Gentiles could go to the temple. In Leviticus, it goes into great detail of how Moses consecrated the tabernacle and everything in it, and how that he appointed Aaron and his sons, who were descendants of Levi. All of the priests were to be Levites. There were several things that had to be done before those priests could offer sacrifices. First of all, they had to clean themselves up. They had to put on clean garments, and they had to have the anointing oil put upon them by Moses. They had to be anointed for service. And then they had to carry out certain rituals for different types of sins. they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins before that they could offer sacrifices for the people. It was a constant sanctification of themselves, the tabernacle, and the people. And that is comparable to today and the believer. We are saved and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all for our sins. That's already been done. Jesus died once and it's finished. But there has to be some sanctification that's done in the heart and the mind, because the heart has failures. There's lust in the heart for this world. We desire food, we desire shelter, we desire all kinds of things in this world that can cause us to fall into sin. It can also hinder the work of God. We are concerned today as believers about the work of God. We're going to discover that in verse 20 that we are Christ's ambassadors and God is using us to speak to others. And so we must be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, presenting ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And if you'll read in Leviticus, you'll find in several places that it says, be holy as God is holy. It's repeated more than once. And that's the reason for the rituals, so that the priest can be sanctified. Now, Paul says we're the temple of the Lord. He dwells in our soul, and we should keep our heart with all diligence and guard our heart, Paul says, so that we might not sin against God. We're going to be judged by Christ. We're going to be judged of how well that we resisted evil in this world. And we're going to be judged by how we treated our fellow man. And we're going to be judged as to whether we produced fruit. In Leviticus, you're going to find one of the commandments was that if they were in a warfare and they came upon a territory, a new territory of land that they had conquered, they were told not to cut down any tree that had fruit on it, because that was needed for food in their warfare. But it says you can cut down any tree that is not bearing fruit and use it for protecting yourself by building some type of fort or wall against the enemy. So God wants us to bring forth fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, hope, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, temperance. That's what He's looking for in us. And we're going to be judged as whether we have it or not. We're talking today about judging and the judgment. We know God has the right to judge all men, but Jesus does have the right to give rewards and gifts to those who belong to Him. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is. How well did you do in your service to God? It's not in how well you judged another, but it's how well did you do in producing fruit and being a good ambassador. There have been instances in history where our nation has had ambassadors that have not been very good ambassadors. Fact is, in recent times, we've had ambassadors who would discredit America and talk down about America to foreign countries. What kind of ambassador is that? There's also been ambassadors who has promoted war because they have not relayed the right message and they've not been diligent in seeking peace with other nations. It makes a big difference what kind of ambassador that we are. We're still talking about judging and the judgment. But we want to turn our focus now to, do we have the right to judge another person? And what does judging another person mean? Is it saying to a friend of yours that just bought a new dress and hat and shoes, "Well, you know what? I don't like the color of your new outfit." Is that judging? Now, that may hurt that person's feelings because it's a brand new outfit. Is that judging? No, that's your opinion. But sometimes opinions hurt, don't they? To identify what judging is would be to say something in this order. "Well, you know, I think you just bought that color outfit because it's the same color as the dress I just bought. I believe you did that out of spite." Is that judging? Yes, it is. The difference is, judging is saying the intent of a person's heart. We don't have the right to judge the intent of another person's heart. Not only do we not have that right, we don't know their intent. So what is the intent of our heart? That's the question that God is trying to find out about us. The scripture says that God tries the reins of the heart, which is like the reins of a horse. He compares trying to find out what a man's intentions that's in the heart is to do evil. Paul said in Romans 7 that sin still remained in his heart even though he's born again. He's talking about the sin of Adam. He says, "The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that I do." He wanted to do good, and he would have done good. But sin, the sin of Adam, was ever present with him, he said. Are we to say he had bad intentions? That's judging another person's heart. We don't know the intentions of our own heart sometimes. God has got to shine a spotlight down in our heart so we can see what our intentions are. King David asked God to examine his heart and see if there was any wicked thing in it. So we have to control the heart, and we have to examine our own motives to see if we are true ambassadors of Christ. Are we really out to serve God or ourselves? Are we in it for our personal gain? Paul is addressing this question in today's lesson. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 21. Now, I'm reading to you in the New Living Translation. The heading here is, "We are God's ambassadors." Verse 11, "It is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord," he's talking about standing before the judgment seat of Christ, "that we work so hard to persuade others. We are sincere." He's saying, God knows the intent of my heart, isn't he? And he even says, and I hope you know this too, he was talking to the Corinthians. Now, there were some Corinthians there who were accusing Paul. They were judging the intent of his heart. And Paul is having to defend himself and tell them, "No, you've got it all wrong. That's not the intent of my heart." They accused him of bragging when he would tell about his missionary journeys, or he would tell what God had done for him. And they interpreted it to look at his motive, to brag on himself. Let's read verse 12. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? Paul asked. No, he says. We're giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart before God. Paul knew that it was they who had personal motives and intentions. They wanted to discredit Paul. Paul says, I have a sincere heart. My intentions are good. But he said, these others are preaching and promoting themselves. Now in this, Paul has to compare himself to these other ministers who are not preaching the gospel. Paul says, I have a sincere heart, and I'm telling you that God loves you and that he wants you to be reconciled to him. That's his whole motive for bringing the gospel message to the Corinthians. That's his only message. In verse 13, he says, if it seems that we are crazy, it's to bring glory to God. But if we're in our right minds, then it's for your benefit. They accused him of all kinds of things. They judged the intentions of his heart. It's a sin to judge the intentions of another person's heart. Verse 14, Paul says, whatever we do, it's because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we've all died to the old life that we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live to please themselves, but instead they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised from the dead for them. So we've stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. But how differently I think about him now. In this verse, he's referring to the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham, that there would be a Messiah that would be born through the seed of Abraham. Now, all of the Jews believed in that promise, and they knew that a Messiah would come to them. But even though they believed that the Messiah would be a Jew coming from the seed of Abraham, they could not believe Jesus was the Messiah. And Paul said, I used to think that way myself. But now I know who he is. He's not merely a human being, but he is God. He is the Messiah. In verse 17, he says, what this means is that those who are become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, and a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he's given us to tell others. We are Christ ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. And we urge you, as though God himself we're here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now it says in verse 16 that Paul had stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. He said that when he was a sinner, he judged Jesus like all the others in the crowd that he ran with, which were the Jewish Sanhedrin Council and the Pharisees. He just went along with the crowd. He may have been in the crowd that was crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was influenced by his Jewish heritage, and he persecuted the Christians because they believed in Jesus. He didn't realize who Jesus was, and that he was not just another mere human being. He had no idea that he was the Messiah until God touched him on the road to Damascus. So Paul said, "I stopped judging people. I stopped running with the crowd." Years ago, I had a cartoon about a herd of wildebeest. It made such an impression on me that I want to tell you about it. Now, wildebeest is a large antelope that lives in Africa. They are strange-looking animals, and the name wildebeest means wild animal. During May of each year, more than 1 million of these wildebeest will migrate 800 miles from the Serengeti Desert to the open woodlands to feed until November of that year. They are known to travel very fast in their migration, and sometimes as many as 500 wildebeest will run at speeds of up to 50 miles an hour, and they'll make a stampede in their race for the open woodlands. The leading characteristic of the wildebeest is that they always follow a leader, and this leader is noticeably larger than the other animals and box-like. And wherever the leader goes, the whole herd will follow him. Now, in this cartoon, there was a stampede going on of wildebeest. But there was this one particular little wildebeest who stood upon a hill apart from the rest. And he proudly proclaimed that he refused to be one of the crowd that was in the stampede, because he declared he had a mind of his own. Now that was just a cartoon, but it gave a great message. And that is not to run with the crowd, and to think like the crowd, and to judge people like the crowd, and not to be just stampeded through life without evaluating an individual who needs God. If we judge, we are sinning against God and His message. If we try to determine the intent of a person's heart, that's not our job. Our job is to tell them about the love of God, and to tell them that God wants to save them and to be reconciled to the Lord. Paul made up his own mind about Jesus, and he decided that he was the Messiah. He didn't go with the group that he was raised up with or that he associated with. But he knows that God's intentions are good toward us. God says, "I know my thoughts toward you, that they are good and not evil." How many have falsely accused God's intentions, especially when a tragedy takes place? We want to blame God. "Well, you took my child. You intended to do me harm," we say. We don't want to forgive God. We're judging His intentions. His intentions toward us is true, and it's love. And Paul said we are ambassadors to give God's message. And the message that God gives us today is to be reconciled to Him. In the courtroom, the judge will look at the intent of a defendant's heart as to whether the murder that was committed was premeditated or not. Whether it's first-degree murder, second-degree murder, or manslaughter, it all depends on the intent of that man's heart. Now, there are 12 jurors that are trying to decide what the intent of the defendant is when they pronounce his guilt. The sentence will be based on the judgment of the intent of the person's heart. A jury is addressed by the court to judge that person. But we as believers do not have the right to judge the intentions of another believer. In fact, we're supposed to make excuses for our fellow man and give him the benefit of the doubt if he has offended us. And the scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. When Jesus was on the cross, there were people screaming at him, spitting on him. But Jesus asked the Father to forgive them because they did not know what they were doing. Jesus was kind to the unkind, and he does not want us to judge another. We know that judging begins with the thought life. We have to think it before we say it. So we don't need to entertain negative thoughts about others. Jesus will know at the judgment seat of Christ what our intentions are. They will be revealed to each one of us. Our reward depends upon our intentions. And so we want to be truthful and honest with ourselves as we stand before the Lord, that we have done all that we could to work as good ambassadors for God's kingdom. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are grateful for your gift of eternal life and your good intentions toward us. We're grateful that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, and we praise you for this marvelous gift. May we be your ambassadors to speak the truth, embrace the truth, and live the truth. Give us the power to serve you in holiness. May we be a blessing to those about us and not be a hindrance, so that we may bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's leading me.